T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
The following is a KMOX Sports presentation.
Bring out the Zamboni and bring on round two. The St. Louis Blues beat the Winnipeg Jets 3-2 in game six. They win the series 4-2. And they're moving on, Joe Vitale.
Well, you have to love it. The fans deserve it. This team deserves it. Jordan Binnington deserves it. I just saw Craig Berube, a couple handshakes from his assistants. He goes straight down the gateway there. He deserves it. What an incredible season, and it continues. I can't wait for the next round.
Yelich was 0-2, and now it's 2-2. Here comes that pitch from Jordan Hicks. Half swing, and he went around, a strikeout, and he complains to the home plate umpire. This game is over. Hicks picks up his 7th save.
Welcome to the Munganass St. Louis Honda and Mitsubishi Sports Open Line on America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
Here we go. It's the Munganass St. Louis Honda and Mitsubishi Sports Open Line. Chris Ramby with you on KMOX. It is the Thursday, April 24th, 2019 edition of the program. Happy to be with you from Cardinals Nation until 8 o'clock tonight. Blues and Stars start tomorrow. Cardinals sweep the Brewers. And what a time in St. Louis sports. Saw a great baseball game earlier today, and the anticipation continues to build. The Blues will have center stage tomorrow at 8:30 with the Cardinals off, and Yadier Molina said he's planning on being in the house. Here's what I've got planned for you on the program tonight. Coming up in, about 15 minutes, 10, 15 minutes, Tom Ackerman is going to be with me. We will chat about the Blues, about the Cardinals, about who knows what else as we get ready for the second round of the Stanley Cup playoffs. Tom Ackerman comes up in about 10, 15 minutes. 7 o'clock hour, we're talking a lot of hockey. Chris Kerber joins us live before game one of the Blues and Stars tomorrow night right down the street at Enterprise Center. We'll visit with Brian Lawton of NHL Network at 7:30, and then Sean Shapiro, who does a great job covering the Dallas Stars for The Athletic, at 7:45. So, Tom Ackerman, Chris Kerber, Brian Lawton, and Sean Shapiro. That's what I've got for you tonight on the program. If you want to get in touch with the show, we invite you to do so at 436-7900, 314-436-7900, or 800-925-1120. Follow me on Twitter. Tweet me at C-H-R-A-B-E, C-H-R-A-B-E. Follow us on Twitter at KMOX Sports. That's where you'll get breaking news, behind-the-scenes photos, and more. You can also follow us on Facebook and Instagram. Ben Boyd is the executive producer of the program.
I have never eaten lobster in my life.
That's a good one, Mike Anderson. That's a good one.
I don't know, man. M&Ms are good.
Speaking of Mike Anderson, he's my guy.
He produces.
Back in the KMOX studios. Mike, have we figured out what that is at the start of this clip?
He produces.
It's just a very...
He produces. He produces.
Just a very subtle squeak. I'm not accusing Dave of anything, but it's just a very low-key squeak.
He might be sitting in a recliner with some plastic, a plastic covering on it. I'm not sure.
He produces. He produces.
And, you know, in honor of the Blues knocking off the Jets, this is our first Sports Open Line since we wrapped up that series. I got to run this one back for my guy.
I got a favorite.
Who?
What's his name? The guy that scored 44 goals is only 20 years old last year. for Winnipeg.
Line A?
Line A, yeah. I like him.
Yeah, shout out to
I guess who don't, right?
Yep, well, we like him now that he's going golfing. This is the Munganess St. Louis Honda and Mitsubishi Sports Open Line. I guess we welcome Mike Anderson back in for the second time this evening. Holy cow, dude. Like, just when you thought the Stanley Cup playoffs, you know, couldn't get any crazier, we see the San Jose Sharks down 3-1, win Game 5, win Game 6 on a shorthanded double overtime winner from the man who guaranteed that they would win Game 6 in Vegas. Didn't he guarantee that? He said, he guaranteed in the media, we're going to win, Thomas Hertl, we're going to win Game 6 and go back to San Jose.
Yeah, I think, that was after Game 5? He said, we will be back here for Game 7?
Yeah, and it was the first time in Stanley Cup playoff history that a shorthanded goal has won a game in double overtime.
Yeah, and nothing to take away from Thomas, but in particular, that Game 6 winner was not one that you ever see Marc-Andre Fleury by.
Man.
So that's what made it so weird.
I think he was absolutely gassed and just, flipped it on net, you know?
Right. Yeah, I mean, it was a pretty harmless-looking wrister from about near the blue line. So to see that squeak by Marc-Andre Fleury was really surprising.
So then they go to a Game 7 last night, and if you were up late, like I was after the Cardinal game, like Mike was, like many people on Twitter that I follow were, you saw two ridiculous comebacks, albeit in much different ways. Portland Trailblazers, who were leading at halftime in a closeout game, the magnitude different because it was only a game 5, but they were up pretty much all game, then go down 15 in the fourth quarter. They're down 8 with 3 minutes to go. Damian Lillard hits a shot from the logo at half court to win. And then San Jose gets a 5-minute major, a 5-10 for Cody Eakin after a cross check on the faceoff of Joe Pavelski. Pavelski hits the deck and appeared unconscious for a moment. You probably know by now, but they score 4 goals on that 5-minute major. They go up. Vegas ties it with a minute left, and then San Jose wins it in overtime. What's his face? Fourth liner who had played 45 seconds of overtime.
Yeah,
at that
Barclay
point.
Goudreau.
Yeah, Goudreau. And just insane. And I wonder, because so often I feel like the reaction, and especially with social media and everyone having a platform to give a hot take, instead of just enjoying what was an unbelievable game. And if you're a Vegas fan, that sucks. That is a brutal way to lose. All right. You had that game wrapped up. I don't even know what the odds would have been for San Jose down 3-0 halfway through the third. But for some reason, even people with no dog in the fight or people that are just watching hockey, their reaction is not to appreciate one of the most incredible, I think, Stanley Cup playoff games we've seen in, I don't know, a decade. It's instead to argue about whether or not that was a 5-minute major. I can see both sides of it. I thought Marchessault had a really good kind of venting after the game. I don't know if you saw this, Mike. We can grab it, but we'd have to make sure it's safe for work because there was some dangerous language. But he said it's embarrassing, you know, that happens in faceoffs. That's a penalty, but it's not 5 minutes. On the flip side, you have Joe Pavelski literally unconscious on the ice. And it's 5 minutes. Sharks still have to execute. I'm not saying you kill off a 5-minute major, but you let them score 4 times. And instead of appreciating the game and the emotion and just what a remarkable Game 7 that was, everyone starts to flip out about the officials and about the call. So I wonder, Mike, your take, does that need to be reviewable? Is it unfortunate when instead of appreciating what actually happened, we focus on a penalty or a no call or a team getting screwed?
No, I don't think it needs to be reviewable because then you just open Pandora's box and it's like what can and can't be reviewed at this point. So I'm not a big fan of review in general, but this is in particular one thing that I would leave up to the discretion of the referees who are on the ice and paid to do their jobs. And in this case, I think they did their jobs well. I mean, I was frustrated too, and friends that their first text or call to me was the penalty warranted? Well, you know what? Cody Eakin should not have even given the referee the opportunity to make that call. It's not on the official.
Yeah,
it's
a 3-0 game.
It's on the player that chooses to cross check their opponent in the head. I mean, at that point, you're up to the discretion of the official, and I mean, you can't argue with what they called there. I mean, it is what it is. So he didn't give up the 4 goals on the power play either.
Yeah, and in a 3-0 game, I mean, holy cow, what a game. Absolutely unbelievable. Unbelievable. First-round game. Granted, it was a Game 7, but there was nothing like a Game 7 unless your team happens to be playing it. Quick break. Tom Ackerman joins me next. We're just getting started. It is the Munganess St. Louis Honda Mitsubishi Sports Open Line. Chris Raby with you back in a moment on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Munganess St. Louis Honda Mitsubishi Sports Open Line.
Munganess St. Louis Mitsubishi on South Limburg.
On America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
Welcome back. It's the Munganess St. Louis Honda and Mitsubishi Sports Open Line on KMOX. We wrap up a Cardinals series against the Brewers. Day off tomorrow, then the Reds in town for the weekend. And, of course, the Blues open up the second round of the Stanley Cup playoffs with the Dallas Stars tomorrow night at Enterprise Center. Tom Ackerman joins us for a couple of minutes to talk all things Cardinals and Blues. And even though we've run the gamut of weather over the last couple of days and the last week, it seems nothing better than turning the page to a new Stanley Cup playoff series and, you know, playing into the month of May, at least for the Blues and the Cardinals.
Yeah, this week's not any fun, is it? My gosh.
The overlap is the best.
It's awesome. And, you know, every time I post something on Twitter about something that happened the day before, Cardinals and Blues, I always get a bunch of tweets back from St. Louis FC fans. So let me throw them in there and say, go St. Louis FC.
They just started too, yeah.
Beat the Swope Park Rangers. They are at the top of their table.
That's big time, actually.
St. Louis FC has been very good, so I want to make sure that they get included, of course. So it really is. I mean, you got all those professional franchises going. This week is about the St. Louis Blues being in the playoffs in the second round and the Cardinals being going into today, first place in the NL Central, and they'll be in contention
in the National League.
In the National League.
Best run differential in the league.
Yep, plus 30 going
into
today.
As of last night, yeah.
So, you know, it really is a special time to be a St. Louis fan, and I think things are looking up for our city.
All right, let's start with and on that note, before we get into the Blues, and speaking of STL FC and that club and what Jim Cavanaugh and his group have done with them, and, you know, the news last week about Major League Soccer voting to expand, I was so impressed, for what it's worth, with the renderings put out of the proposed new stadium and the facilities around the stadium and the retail and shopping and restaurant and bar and potentially hotels around the stadium. And thinking about last Saturday and this Saturday and the Cardinals playing during the day, the Blues playing at night, and then straight down Clark Street when that beautiful new stadium, hopefully very, very soon, will be built, what that could do for the area and what that would do for that stretch of whatever it is, a mile, three-quarters of a mile, throw the new aquarium at Union Station in there. That got me fired up thinking about it last weekend with the beautiful weather and everybody going between Busch Stadium and Enterprise Center.
It's really cool. And when you drive on 6440 and you head in or out of the city, you can see the city foundry is getting worked on.
Awesome.
You know, and you have the Cortex Innovation District, St. Louis University.
Shout out to IKEA, by the way. I think that IKEA has done a bunch for that area. The Grove, too. There's a bunch of new developments there. I was with my mom and brother over there when they were in town like a month ago, and we were shopping over there. Shout out to my apartment for flooding. And it's,
I heard about that.
It's,
sorry,
it's really cool what that area is becoming, too.
You know, it really, you think about St. Louis right now, what could be from the Arch all the way to Clayton, okay? Central corridor of the city from Clayton all the way down to the Arch. There are very few, if any, cities that can compete with that, what that could look like all the way through. And sometimes you just take a little drive. Go down, like, Locust, and just go from Locust from the west side of downtown to St. Louis University, and just take a look around at the businesses that are popping up on Locust and areas of the city like that. You know, I think a lot of people are going to be surprised when it's all said and done, how – and it will take the infrastructure of these sports franchises, I think, to build it from the inside out. But there's a lot going on right now in the city that's going to make it vibrant, and I think St. Louis is making a huge comeback, and I think that what we need to do is tell the story as St. Louisans and let people know about it. What's happening is people are coming in from out of town, like this week where we had our radio affiliates, 147 affiliates, the largest network in Major League Baseball. You have all these people from Indiana, Kentucky, and Oklahoma, and Tennessee, et cetera, Iowa, that are saying, wow, I mean, I really like it here. I like St. Louis, and it's cool. You guys have a great city. It's unique in this and the architecture and the food. And, you know, people have discovered St. Louis as an affordable place to live, work, and play. And now with the addition, cross your fingers, that it all is formalized and done of an MLS team, it just adds to it. I think it's going to be an awesome next 5 to 10 years. And on top of that, you know, with the announcement last week, Worldwide Technology said, you know what? We're going to take over Gateway Motorsports Park. We're going to put our name on it. Curtis Francois is still going to own it and run it, but we are going to use it as a test track for something that we think is very cool, which is to enhance the fan experience through technology. And I think they're on to something. And I think, you know, the only track in the country that has NASCAR, NHRA, and IndyCar, you know, all of these sports are now coming together and making St. Louis back to what it is, one of America's great sports cities.
Oh, for sure. And, you know, Busch Stadium and the new Busch Stadium, Busch 3, and then Ballpark Village, the first phase, really, I think, was the first link in the chain reaction, and then Enterprise Center. And, you know, yesterday, the announcement that the U.S. gymnastics trials are coming here next year, I know some people might say, oh, I'm not a gym. It's not the point. It doesn't matter if you're a gymnastics fan. No. Whatever. Shout out to Nastia Lukin. But the money that's going to bring in and the people that's going to bring in to the city, that with Arch Madness re-upping with Enterprise Center, with some of the other events that are going to be at Enterprise Center, the NCAA tournament coming back, that's all because of the Blues ownership commitment. So from the DeWitts to Tom Stillman and his group to now, you know, the Taylor family and Carolyn Kindle Betts and Jim Cavanaugh, just straight down Clark Street. That's how it's happening, man.
It's a big
deal.
We're
lucky.
Yep. I'm
lucky
very excited about it. And, you know, the NHL All-Star Game. And anytime that you have the world watching you is good.
So that's within like a three-month period. The All-Star Game, the Olympic Trials, Arch Madness, and the NCAA Tournament all next year, right?
All of it's in the first 6 months of the year. You know, and on top of that, we just had the PGA Championship, and I know that the PGA of America and really the golf world continues to look at St. Louis as something down the road. They have their eye on us. It's too bad
everything's booked up.
You know, it was too good. We had such a great world event that people are watching St. Louis, not just for golf, but for future events, saying, wow, that's an example of maybe we should rethink how we do our tour or our circuit. Maybe we should bring an event to St. Louis, change it up a little bit. Look how they embrace things over there. You know, what a cool city that is. And it actually seems like it wouldn't be as expensive as some other coastal cities. Maybe we should think about doing something in St. Louis. It's just going to change the conversation.
Yeah, I wonder if any WGC stuff ever gets moved or altered.
Maybe so.
Or I know everything is pretty much spoken for, but Barry Deitch has a pretty good track record of his PGA sites turning into Ryder Cup sites with Valhalla and I'm blanking, Minnesota, Hazeltine. Pretty good track record.
Yes, he does. He's over at Harding Park right now getting ready for the PGA in 2020 in San Francisco. We'll be sending a crew up to Beth Page to continue to work with the PGA in New York next month. So we have a great relationship going with them.
All right, let's talk about first the Blues. And just from a matchup standpoint, first of all, outside of any X's and O's, I was really, really hoping that it would be the Nashville Predators. Not just because of the proximity of Nashville and St. Louis, but just because I feel like that's a rivalry on the brink. They've had the one playoff series a couple of years ago that Nashville won in six games, but I feel like it's such a rivalry on the brink. Seeing what Chicago and Nashville, that rivalry has become because of some of their postseason battles, and seeing Predator fans in St. Louis and Blues fans in Nashville, just from a bad blood storyline standpoint, I had my fingers crossed it was going to be the Predators.
I did too, and I thought that, you know, the Blues played very well against them this year. Matched
yeah, that's
up
the other
well.
Thing.
You know, and I think that Dallas is hot right now, and that top line is really scary. And Ben Bishop has been in the zone, and he'll be tough to stop. And I know I've seen him for myself in the playoffs. I was at the Eastern Conference Finals a couple years ago when he stymied the Rangers in the Garden. I was there. He knocked them out. They couldn't do anything. And, you know, when he's on, he's very, very tough to stop. But I'm excited about the Blues right now. I think that all four lines look pretty good. I think defensively they've been strong. They've made great adjustments. The goaltending's obviously tough. And I think the Blues are going to be very tough to stop. I think Enterprise Center will be rocking and rolling tomorrow. And Game 6 was as loud as any time I've heard the building. It's going to be a lot of fun this next round.
I asked this question to Klaibs a week or two ago. I think right before the series started, or maybe right when the series started. And I know that the real consistency, really the only thing, and I don't mean this in a harsh way, but the only real constant for Blues and for Blues fans mostly has been the heartbreak. And listen, that's how it ends for every team except one. You know, that's how it ends for 30 teams in the NHL every year. It ends with heartbreak. But the way that this year has gone, the way this team has played, and the way they have won games, even in this first round, even coming down the stretch, does this team feel different than other Blues teams that you've watched and covered?
It does feel different because...
And I don't want to get too over the top, but you know what I mean.
But I just think, new faces, I think that the coach has a lot to do with it. We've just seen a lot of new. Jordan Binnington, it was just a fresh face that came out of nowhere, and he's kind of the poster boy for this. It's like, what do you mean we lost in the past? You know, what do you mean I'm nervous?
That feels like the guy the Blues run into,
right?
The hot goaltender.
Like, exactly.
Or the comeback in Game 5. That's what happens to the Blues.
Yeah, or Craig Berube, who is dropping F-bombs in the locker room, you know, before and after games to his team, and the Blues are capturing it on their in-house video on their Twitter feed. Like, that stuff is refreshing and cool and different, and it just feels different. There's just something, you know, Vegas coming out earlier this week saying that the new favorite to win the Cup's the Blues. It, like, jarred everybody. Like, what? The Blues? Like, we're the favorite? So I think what we're seeing, Chris, is a culture change. That's what you needed. You've got to get rid of the when are the Blues going to blow it mentality. The new feel is... the Blues are now the boss in the Western Conference. The Blues are the team in charge. I think San Jose winning last night in dramatic fashion.
Oh, my God.
Changed that a little bit because the Sharks are historically tough. They've been tough. They've ruined. They've broken the Blues' hearts before. But you know what? I mean, it's anybody's thing now because you saw Tampa Bay lose. You saw the Penguins lose. You've seen, Calgary lose. I mean, so – It's open for the Blues. I think that the feel has changed a little bit from the fan base, and I think beating Winnipeg was one big hurdle. You've got to beat a team that looked like they could push you around. I thought that Winnipeg, after watching them for a few games, even though the Blues won the first two, were the better team. But the Blues came out in Game 6, and they took it to them. They dominated them. They outshot him 16-1 in the second period. At that point, it was 27-6 shots on goal. It was an indication of how much they dominated Game 6. And it was a little message sent to everybody. The Blues are not going to be pushed around. They have the smarts to change the course. And I think that fans have picked up on it. That has a lot to do with it. It's not just the players. Players are going to go out and play. I think it's just the whole culture from top to bottom. You've got to change the feel that this team doesn't win cups.
100%. And part of that feeling, I think, there were a bunch of moments, as Tom Ackerman is with us on the Munganass St. Louis Honda Mitsubishi Sports Open Line. Blues and Stars start tomorrow at 8:30. A bunch of moments where fans probably rightfully so said, here we go again. Game 1, you fall behind, you're down 1-0 halfway through the third period on the road. Game 2, you let Winnipeg back into the game twice. Game 3 and 4, you lose both at home. Jordan Binnington, unbelievable in Game 4. You lose in overtime on some bad luck. Game 5, you fall behind. 2-0, third period. 2-0 in the third period on the road.
Yeah.
To a Winnipeg team that was unbelievable at home the last 2 years until the last week and closing out. And all of that, I think what struck me, culminated in a Game 6 at home which was not only a great performance and, like you said, maybe the loudest that building has been, it is probably the best hockey game and I think easily the best period of hockey I've ever seen the Blues play in the second period since I've been in St. Louis.
I'm with you. And, you know, sometimes you're going to have to figure out a way to get through tough moments, and the Blues have done that. I mean, they did that in Game 5, and I hate to say it, but, you know, we've seen in past years Grant Fuhr gets hurt. He gets run by Nick Kiprios in a series against the Maple Leafs, and if that doesn't happen, the Blues might well have won the Cup that year. They were a great team with Wayne Gretzky and company. But probably, I hate to say this, but an injury is going to happen. I mean, somebody's going to – it's a very violent game. Somebody's going to get hurt. You've got to figure out a way to get over that too, and forget that mentality of, uh-oh, here we go, so-and-so's hurt. What I'd like to see are the stars come to play for this team. Now we've seen Jaden Schwartz start to light it up. 91 getting his scoring touch would be pretty strong. Vladimir Tarasenko, Ryan O'Reilly looks great. You know, if there's a way for the defenseman, I wouldn't mind seeing the defenseman put the puck in the net once or twice. We haven't seen that yet. But, gosh, we've seen, I think, collectively a terrific effort. Players have picked each other up. Craig Berube's made the necessary adjustments, lineup changes. I like the feel and look of this team right now going into the play the Dallas Stars. And we all know that the Stars are hot. They looked really good against the Predators. They fear nothing. Jamie Benn fears nothing. That whole top line is strong. But I feel like if the Blues could figure out a way to neutralize that top line, they have a really good chance, to win this series and play in the Western Conference Finals.
You know, they do like the tail of the tape, and they'll say forwards, defense, goaltending, whatever. I think one of the intangible matchups should be which head coach would win in a fight. And I'm taking Craig Berube every time. That is a bad, bad dude.
Yeah, he's good.
How about that? Some of the videos, man.
How about that story about with Roenick? How he waited.
I missed this.
Yeah, so Roenick, gosh, now I want to be able to do it justice, but you can go online and read the story. But basically, they had something happened between the two, and Berube waited for years until he was teammates with him in Philadelphia.
Oh no!
And punched him right.
Beat his ass in practice
in the locker room. He said he waited.
What?
He said he waited. I'll have to look up the story. Waited 13 years to drill him right in the face. I'll look it up while we're talking.
If you're holding a grudge, a baker's dozen, that's pretty
strong.
Isn't
that awesome?
To wait until your teammates with the guy and then give him an uppercut in the dressing room.
Yeah.
That's pretty strong.
It's pretty strong.
I wouldn't mess with him, man, and I love it, like you
said.
Here
it is. In 1991, Craig Berube is a Flyer. Roenick is a Hawk. Roenick sucker punched him in a game. Berube tried for years to get even. Roenick signs with Philadelphia.
It's like the Count of Monte Cristo.
So Roenick signs with Philadelphia in 2001.
This is 10 years later. Yeah.
Berube signs with Philadelphia in 2003. During camp, Berube comes up to him and decks him in the locker room. 12 years later and says, now we're even.
That's unbelievable.
Isn't that incredible?
I wonder if he signed with Philly just to do that. That's amazing.
It is unreal. I just think that's incredible. I love hearing that story.
We'll take our head coach over your head coach.
All day long. And I think they like that. The players like him. I think they love the toughness of him. I think they have some fun with him. And I think that he's been, obviously, a huge part of this turnaround along with Jordan Binnington.
It's remarkable, man. And to make the decision to put Binnington in and stick with Binnington, and, you know, I'll leave it at this as we wrap up. Just, you know, if fans are going to believe, you should, I guess, take solace in the fact the players believe. And everyone in that room says that Berube in December, in January, when they were in last place, he said, we're going to make the playoffs. And it wasn't hope or wishy-washy or trying to pump anyone's tires. It was just, matter of fact, we are going to make the playoffs.
Yes, and they are. This team is, I think, from top to bottom, a team that looks like a playoff team. The only thing they lack, Chris, is they lack players who have won a cup. The only one on the team who's won a cup is Oscar Sundquist, and he did it with the Pittsburgh Penguins. But they're made up of players who have had their hearts broken. And that, to me, is very important. I firmly believe that in this league, you have to have your heart broken to understand what that's like, that you never want to go back there. and look at the players on this team who have never won a cup. I mean, Alexander Steen, that guy's as tough a player as has worn the note.
And Jay Bouwmeester.
Jay Bouwmeester, who's been, you know, thrown into the trash heap by fans and media, and he's been able to come back at it. And, you know, Alex Pietrangelo, tough man. I mean, he's a captain and a guy I think you want to lean on as a teammate. But look at up and down the roster. This is a team that's made up of players who have been either told they can't do it or have been on the doorstep and lost or have been completely out of the playoffs, or they're just young guys trying to make it. I think it's a great collection of players. And look, if they don't make it, I think you can still be proud of the effort. But I look at the teams remaining. There are eight teams still standing in the NHL. I think they have as good a shot to win the cup as any of them. I really believe that.
Absolutely.
And I don't know if I don't think home ice has anything to do with it. I'm glad they have home ice, but it doesn't matter. These players, they get on the ice. Once they start playing, that home ice stuff doesn't
matter.
It's nice
for the potential financial windfalls.
That's
having an extra couple of games at home.
It's good for us here in St. Louis. It's great for KMOX and Entercom and our company to have the team and to watch them continue to go. I love carrying the games. We'll have the game tomorrow night. Chris Kerber, Joey Vitale do a terrific job. I absolutely love it. But mostly, I just want to see the players play a good brand of hockey and play the game right and play the game tough. And, you know, they've been – I'll tell you something else they've overcome. Terrible officiating. I mean, terrible.
That's kind of the first round in the nutshell around right? the NHL. I mean, you want to talk about that Vegas Sharks game last night.
Oh,
holy cow, how that's a 5-10.
Yeah, how do you do that? With the game, you know, but anyway, Vegas blew it anyway. They were up 3-1 in the series and choked it away. But, you know, the Blues have gotten to this point. There is a long way to go. And I think back to my original point in this final part is that they don't have players who have gone all the way except for Oscar. They don't have any players who have been through all of it, who have understood how to play with all of the wear and tear. But you know what? Who cares? It's one series at a time. So go beat Dallas and then figure it out from there.
Here you go. Blues, free idea for you. All right? Free idea. So write this down. Instead of the Bobby Plager, you know, they give out like the gloves after the game to the guy who was like the team MVP, or they'll toss a puck to a guy, or some teams do like the hard hat or whatever. It's like the player's player of the game. They present it in the locker room. I'm envisioning Blues close out the series against Dallas, and, you know, either Binnington makes 41 saves or Vladdy has a hat trick and they win 3-1. Whoever is the player of the game stands up and just gets socked in the face by Craig Berube. Right in the middle of the room. Just sock him in the face. Punch him right square in the nose.
Try that on Pat Maroon.
Thanks, buddy.
Hey, man. Thanks a lot. Appreciate it. And let's see what happens tomorrow night.
We'll take a break back in a moment on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Munganass St. Louis Honda and Mitsubishi Sports Open Line.
Munganass St. Louis Honda on South Limburg.
On America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
All right, thank you to Tom Ackerman for joining us on the program. We're going to talk a little more Blues hockey in our next hour. Chris Kerber will be with me at 7:15. Brian Lawton of NHL Network at 7:30. And then Sean Shapiro, who covers the Dallas Stars from The Athletic, at 7:45. Game 1 tomorrow night at 8:30. We wait for the game time for Saturday night's Game 2. Carolina and Washington going on right now. Another Game 7 in the first round of the Stanley Cup playoffs. And already a 2-0 lead for the Capitals, 7 minutes and 20 seconds into that game. Holy cow. So we'll take a break, come back, and have a lot of hockey talk. Cardinals, meanwhile, sweep the Brewers. They win 5-2 today. It's the Munganess, St. Louis Honda, and Mitsubishi Sports Open Line. Chris Raby with you until 8 o'clock. Back after this on KMOX.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.